News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Thonaiste Micheál Martin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
1 week out from the general election, and obviously a very busy time for all of those of you who are campaigning. But the polls would suggest the likeliest outcome next Friday will be a coalition of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael with AN Other. We can't know that. Anything could happen in a week in politics. It is a long time. But would you be looking forward to another 5 years in coalition with Fine Gael?
Well, I think I'm ignoring the polls. My job is to maximise the Fianna Fáil vote and the Fianna Fáil number of seats in the next election. Our principles around entering into negotiations to form a government would be, first of all, to protect and advance the enterprise economy that has served us well, home ownership, and really building on the foundations we have laid in terms of house building. And also, we will engage in parties that are democratic, that are positively pro-Europe as well. Those are the core principles that will underpin going into government. And we want action on those issues, particularly housing.
Should you go into government with Fine Gael, for example, though, and should there be a larger disparity between your seats in the next Dáil, supposing Fine Gael were considerably ahead of you, would you consider going in if you were in a permanent role as Thonaiste as opposed to a rotating Taoiseach?
Well, again, I think what we did on the last occasion was create a new option on the table in terms of how governments are formed. And I worked with Leo Varadkar and Imran to create this rotating Taoiseach because of the need for parity of esteem between the parties and the closeness of the number of seats each respective party had. It remains to be seen what happens after this election. A lot will depend on the number of seats that each party gets. And we have a clear focus on policy. Like, the real glue that put the last government together was not the rotating Taoiseach, it was the programme for government. It's policy. And so we have to be satisfied on the housing front. In terms of policies, we have to be satisfied on investment in public services, because there are differences between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil on health expenditure.
Okay,
on for example, on pupil teacher ratio and education. We're the only party that's actually said we'll bring the pupil teacher ratio down from 23 to 19 to 1. We're the only party that's saying we'd increase capitation grants by 40%. So education matters to Fianna Fáil. It's part of our DNA. And so these are issues we will have to seriously negotiate, and it's the programme for government.
And if it is policy that dictates who you want to be in coalition with, which is your preference, Green or Labour?
Again, it depends on how far...
Well, they've both laid out their stalls.
Well, they have to align with our core principles around positivity around pro-Europe, in terms of the enterprise economy, that matters, in terms of housing, and also then in terms of delivery, bringing people
you not,
with you.
Can you not tell which of those does align with you more closely?
Well, I think the, again, I'm not getting into specific parties in advance of an election. I think that's, there's a degree of arrogance to that, because we're taking people for granted.
You got into specifics about
if you look at the last election, for example, again, and as I said, the glue was the programme for government. Policies matter to people. And we will negotiate hard prior to going into government with anybody. We're not just going to go into government. It depends on the number of seats we get. It depends on the votes we get. There are core issues facing the public. Investment in public services matters to us.
Okay.
So, for example, we're providing funding for 25,000 extra healthcare staff over the next 5 years. Again, if you look at the manifestos, the only party doing that is us. We want 60,000 houses per annum built. And the good news there is, I think, that we had 53,000 commencements in the first 10 months of 2024, which will give hope to people that we can deal with this and we can make inroads on the housing crisis.
Before we move on from coalition formation, you have outruled Aintu. Aintu said in the leaders' debate on RTÉ last week that they would be happy to go into coalition with you because they thought they could steer you. You then said that they were a hollow husk, an empty hollow husk of a party, and you don't have respect for them.
No, they said that to us.
Oh, they said you were the hollow husk. I beg your pardon. Sorry, I'm mixing up my who said what. But interestingly, on that vote election algorithm that they use on The Independent, Bertie Ahern came out, he entered it, and he came out as an Aintu voter when he put in his policy preference. There has been a lot of sort of overlap between you and Aintu, formerly a pro-life party. Fianna Fáil would have always said that about themselves, old school Republicans, left wing.
No, not at all. Wouldn't agree with that. I mean, I think, look, you're talking about one seat party here now. So let's move on. As far as I'm concerned, the core principles are democratic, positively pro-Europe, pro-enterprise economy, pro-home ownership. Those are the key principles that will govern who we go into government
with. Does that mean Sinn Féin are ruled out if it's positively pro-Europe?
Sinn Féin is not positively pro-Europe. Sinn Féin doesn't get the enterprise economy. Sinn Féin is proposing 3.5 billion in tax hikes, which will tax enterprise out of existence in this country. Anybody who starts a small to medium-sized enterprise, who spent 10 years building it up and begin to make profit, will be taxed to an extraordinary degree by Sinn Féin. I mean, it's a huge tax package that they're suggesting or proposing to bring in. They do not get the enterprise economy. And on home ownership, I think they have a very convoluted system where they're saying a person who gets will buy an affordable house won't own the land. But worse again, they will crucify first-time buyers. I mean, getting rid of the Help to Buy scheme, getting rid of the First Home Bridge to Gap scheme, schemes that are helping first-time buyers to get the deposit to be able to afford to buy houses are going to be scrapped by Sinn Féin.
They would obviously say that their housing policy will keep more social housings within the ownership of the state because they will own the land and that is...
But that's a bit of the ideological thing, isn't it? That Sinn Féin believe in this control, this sort of socialist view that we have to control how people live, that we have to control, you know, they're not really into home ownership. Most people buying a house today, young people, will want to buy both the house and the land that the house is on. They don't want to end up in years to come in all sorts of complexities. They don't want difficulties in getting mortgages either. And there's 125,000 new buyers over the next five years at a minimum. And they could lose anything up to 80,000 because of Sinn Féin policies if you combine the first home scheme with the Help to Buy scheme. It is, in our view, a very big choice between first-time buyers need to really see that.
Let me ask you, do you accept that the electorate could be forgiven for thinking all this auction politics that we're seeing from all parties, not just your own, all these great shiny baubles that people are being offered, if it was actually going to be delivered, why wasn't it delivered in the budget?
Well, I think an awful lot was delivered in the budget.
The budget, which is not long ago, just over a month ago, we've upped the ante on what's going to be coming down the line for people much more.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if you take, for example, at the last general election, no one would have foreseen that we would have free school books from primary right through the leaving certificate. We've done that over the last number of years. Fianna Fáil in education has provided free textbooks, school books for children and right up to leaving certificate. So what we are proposing is in line with Department of Finance economic projections in terms of economic growth. Fianna Fáil has also been the most responsible in terms of we're saying we'll put 50 billion into the funds over the next 5 years, into the Future Ireland Fund and into the Infrastructure Fund. And 20 billion we're putting aside for existing levels of public services.
It's interesting you say that because we had the Taoiseach on here 2 days ago and what he said in effect was that Fine Gael is the only party staying within the 5% spending guidelines, that every other party, including your own, is exceeding them.
I can show you the document here from the Fine Gael manifesto. And actually, it's above.
I should say to our listeners, the thought is holding up a piece of paper covered in highlighter.
It's in their own manifesto. They're above the 5%. And I think
is that because they're excluding capital spending in what the Taoiseach
was
saying?
Yeah, and also spending is always net of taxes. And so if you look there...
So are you saying that the Taoiseach was incorrect in what he said here
absolutely
in his talk breakfast?
Absolutely. I couldn't understand why he said it because it's incorrect. I mean, they had to delete a tweet during the debate last week where they made the same point in some tweet. Someone's headquarters put it out attacking Fianna Fáil and within a half an hour because we put up a tweet saying, uh-oh, here's your table. 7%, 5.9%, 6.6%, 6.1%.
That's
incorrect.
And which of the two parties is exceeding it by more?
I think Fine Gael, if you look at their tables, because if you combine the tax and the spend, that
bit more. So they're not the only ones sticking and they're exceeding it by more is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's within range, but it's because of this.
There's so much to get through, unfortunately, Tonishton, but the ICC, the warrant for the arrest of Benjamin Netanyahu specifically, has been described as outrageous by Joe Biden. Do you agree?
I don't, actually. And I think we have to, I'm very concerned about the United States approach to the International Criminal Court in that there are 100 signatories and we have to have accountability at international level through a court system that is independent. We must respect the independence of the court. Ireland has been a strong supporter of the court, not just in the context of the Middle East, but in other conflicts. And we have funded.
We have signed a
voluntary contribution of 3 million.
We spoke
in the last
to Alistair Bunkle, Sky News' Middle Eastern correspondent earlier, and he was talking about Ireland specifically and about the fact that we are signed up to support the court. He said there would be an onus on us should Benjamin Netanyahu arrive here to arrest him. Would the Irish state do that?
Yes, we would execute a warrant. Yeah, we will execute it.
Okay.
And as far as I'm concerned, war crimes have been committed in Gaza. What's happening in northern Gaza at the moment is absolutely horrific. And it is resulting in the forced expulsion of a population from northern Gaza. I mean, the images we're receiving of families being killed.
Would you describe it as ethnic and children. Cleansing?
I think it certainly is. I mean, we can get into language and so on. That's why the courts are important. It's a collective punishment of the people. They are war crimes. It's genocidal. But Ireland wants to have accountability through the international courts. And we made submissions to the international court in terms of, for example, the ICC Criminal Court having jurisdiction over Israel, which is the first issue that was being tested. We've supported the ICJ in the advisory opinion on the occupation.
And
Ireland has been very active on the international legal area.
Which brings me back to this kind of key question. The Front of the Mail this morning is talking about how Ireland needs to cozy up to the Trump presidency to protect foreign direct investment into this country. I think it's fair to say President Trump is a man with something of a brittle ego, doesn't like to be crossed. Should Ireland be at odds with the US over Palestine? And should Ireland's interests not therefore coincide with Palestine in terms of we want to stay on side with the US, but we're at odds with them over this? Would we place Ireland's or Palestine's interests ahead of our own?
No, I think we have to. First of all, I think Ireland's ultimate security is in the multilateral system. And so Ireland has to be within that framework, and supporting the international courts, be it the International Court of Justice or the International Criminal Court, puts us within that framework.
Would we be willing to fall out with the US?
Well, I think
we
have to be, in terms of being robust enough to say, look, we're a member of the United Nations. We believe in the UN framework. We believe in the international jurisprudence system. On the economic front, we have strong bilateral relationships with the US. We have to maintain those. We've already, over the last number of months...
And we're not worried about the threats of tariffs or...
Well, sorry, we are, yeah. I mean, over the last number of months, we've been preparing different scenarios on the economic potential of challenges from President Trump's administration, if they proceed in terms of a tariff war, for example. And across Europe, there will be concerns. So the European Union will be engaging with the United States. Ireland will, through the corporates that are present in Ireland, we have channels on the commercial, economic, industrial front, on the diplomatic front, and on the political front. We will use every avenue that we
and
have.
And you don't see any conflict between our diplomatic position on Palestine and our economic position?
It does create challenges. It does create challenges. There is no point in saying that. Mm-hmm. But you can't either just ignore appalling and horrific events and atrocities that are occurring. And the war needs to stop in Gaza. I hope President Trump does talk about ending wars. The war needs to end. The hostages need to be released, and there needs to be a massive surge of humanitarian aid into Gaza. And we can respectfully make our points to different administrations, including the US administration, which I acknowledge has a different perspective, and there's a different political reality in the US.
And the ICC also obviously have issued a warrant for the head of Hamas. Should he arrive here, would we also arrest
Absolutely.
him?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the point, and I get attacked from some. There should be no equivocation in condemning Hamas and condemning Hezbollah in terms of what they've been doing, and indeed Iran's malign role in the region, because it's a complex issue. It's not simple. The Hamas attacks. And if you look at the court's judgment, I think the court is showing balance. It talks about Hamas's conduct on October the 7th in terms of murder, rape of women, torture, taking of hostages. That is all shocking, horrific, and needs to be condemned. And some people on it don't do it.
I accept that. Moving on a little bit, Tánaiste, if you're back in the Dáil for another 5 years, would you foresee a border poll during that time?
I don't. I believe in the hard work of reconciliation. Again, we are the only party in the manifesto that has put forward €1 billion for the Shared Island Initiative and Fund, which I started as Taoiseach. And in my view, that's the hard work. Now, we've made great progress, I think, through the Shared Island Initiative, the most important initiative, I think, since the Good Friday Agreement itself, in building cross-border relationships and in really creating a dialogue between different groups, young people, women, climate, biodiversity networks established all in it through the Shared Island, but also the Ulster Canal now, Narrow Water Bridge, talked about for 25 years. I've delivered the funding for that as Taoiseach through the Shared Island Fund. County councils on both sides of the border working with each other on funding and so on. So that's the future. And it's about reconciliation. It's about the old Wolf Tone principle of uniting people Protestant, Catholic, and the centre.
All right.
And
but,
the new
but,
Irish.
But not within the next 5 years. Maybe lastly, then, you mentioned on things like climate. Do you accept what the Green Party has been saying over the last number of weeks, that they're keeping Fianna Fáil on side in terms of climate?
I don't, actually. I think we have had a very strong commitment to climate going back now over the last decade. If you looked at our performance in opposition prior to coming into government, it was very progressive and committed on climate. Climate is an existential crisis. We have to address it. I would like to put more focus on adaptation, because climate change has already happened. It's threatening food production. It's it's in terms of erosion of coasts and so forth, in terms of flooding. And so I think the next government should put a very strong emphasis and funding aside for adaptation to climate change, as well as addressing the issues of climate itself. And I would add, food security is very important. And we have to work with our farming community in terms of ensuring that we maintain food production in this country to help to feed Europe, to feed the United Kingdom and ourselves.
Tánaiste Ní Míchel Martin, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.